paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time.
Now that the NBA Finals are over, we can get to what we actually care about, transaction season. It's time to discuss what we can do to make our teams better. Because for the most part, anyone who was watching that series that didn't have a vested interest, whether you're hating against Dallas because you're a Houston fan or you just hate the Celtics like I do and was just rooting for Dallas because they're the last option to avoid the apocalypse of what's going on today, you were focusing on your team. And I think it's probably because we are able to get information specific to our wants. Like at points, it was only what ESPN could provide. And you either are watching the games and that's how you got your basketball fix, or you're listening to some ESPN show talk about basketball. Now, with so many team specific podcasts and sites, if you just want to focus on your team, you can. And without going to the big network to get any information. So I bring that up partly because the season is over and also because of a rule the NBA instituted for this year that teams can start negotiating with their own free agents, and also they can get into extending contract talks. So there's a story out there, really more of a blurb about the Rockets and their intention to extend Şengün and Green. So it's not an either or for the Rockets. It appears to be a both. Now the question simply will be how much that'll cost. So I don't know when that news will break, but we're already at a point. The season is over. The Celtics are the champs. And what's next? And I think because of how people treated these finals, everyone wants to push it aside. ESPN can't, because the finals are on their network and they have to be kind of legacy media and talk about the champions. But does anyone else care that the Celtics won? There was a legacy discussion on the show earlier about what it means for these Celtics and Tatum specifically, because he's the lightning rod, although he didn't even win finals MVP. Jaylen Brown's like, excuse me, what about my legacy? What does it mean for me? I have the richest contract in all of basketball. That'll change. It'll go to Tatum at some point. All NBA, all those things that factor in. But I'm the finals MVP. I won my first title too. But the conversations are surrounding where does Jason Tatum rank as far as a player. And this is on accident, but ESPN's having the conversation right now. Are Tatum and Brown top five players? And I think the consensus coming in was they weren't. Particularly Brown, Tatum was closer to that debate, but it was the Luka, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic conversation, and then there was an opening for five, and some people gave that to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for what he did this year, finishing second in the MVP race. But now we're talking about legacy, Sean, and the legacy of the season is we're glad it's over. Can we move on and talk about what our teams can do to get better?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that we should earmark a segment for the Luke Kornet legacy talk.
Okay.
But we can get to that whenever.
That can be in our bargain basement segment if we get to it today. What is this?
Really
how do we judge third or fourth big men on a team who don't get to play in the finals? Unless it's garbage time. How do we...
Xavier Tillman. What do you think?
Yeah, what do we think about Xavier Tillman?
Now let's revisit his career.
Yes.
Yeah, I do think it is fitting that this title that seems to have upset and really just disgusted, I would say, most people.
For the most part, yeah.
Is also the first title where it's like, by the way, you're going to start getting Woj bombs starting tomorrow. Don't worry.
Yes. In fact, I don't know why the NBA, it's partly because of the league year when it starts, but if we're just having these discussions with our own free agents, why can't we just open up discussions to all the free agents? Like, why wouldn't the Rockets be able to talk to anyone they wanted to right now? Why is it simply, hey, you can talk to your own free agents? That's much like how the NFL does. You can begin talking to your own, and then there's the wait period before you can start talking to others. So if we wanted to get real about this, free agency should begin right after the season is over. Just start it right now. Stay in the conversation.
If you want to get really real, and they would never do this because, A, this would be super hard to please. It's like not enough rules, but also it's all the rules that you need, and it also would just like you kind of need to be like, and in July, that's when all the stuff happens, to kind of spread out the calendar a little bit more. But there's no reason you shouldn't be able to, quote-unquote, tamper with other players after their season's over.
Yeah, who cares?
Like,
start the league.
If we're being honest, like, you could just talk to Paul George after the first round, because it's not like it affects anything.
True. The league year, and maybe they just don't want to take away from the playoffs, I guess.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but the league year doesn't begin in July. Let the teams at least start talking to free agents. If you want to wait till after the finals, fine. They can't sign a deal anyway. So they can have the conversations, agree to a deal, because you already have the moratorium. Just make the moratorium from the end of the finals to July, whatever, and we can have all these conversations about players and trades that are being discussed. Just grab the calendar. It's really a missed opportunity.
I do like that. It's like, all right, let's spread this out.
You like to wait, though.
Let's make a meal out of this.
But
let's have the draft be its own thing.
But I'll ask you, you mentioned the draft. Logistically, would you rather have free agency begin before the draft or after?
After.
After. So you want teams, and you know what, to be honest, I think teams aren't really getting into, it's not recruitment trips where they have to convince a guy to come sign.
No one does that anymore.
They already know who they really have a shot at.
Think about that. Like, not even, I mean, we both probably distinctly remember the LeBron 2010 meetings where every day there's two meetings where two different.
Oh, by the way, Bosch and Wade were involved in meeting teams too. We just don't remember, but they were taking their visits too.
Yeah, like, and then in 2016 when Kevin Durant was a free agent, he was just in the Hamptons, and
people
he would
were
just
coming
have
to him, yeah.
Teams come visit him in the Hamptons to talk to him. Now, like, we just never hear about
that.
Can I point out Fred VanVleet didn't get a visit?
Yeah. No, Rafael Stone's like, I'm not flying up to where you are. I'm going to give you 40 plus million
here.
Isn't
this?
Yeah, I'm not going up to Canada.
Going through customs.
The fact that LaMarcus Aldridge got that treatment is the crazy.
LaMarcus Aldridge got two Lakers visits.
Yeah, he
signed with the Spurs.
Yeah, he took a meeting with the Heat, even though they didn't have money. They're like, hey man, maybe I think the alleged attack for the Heat was, just sign a one-year deal. We'll have all this money in the next offseason. You want to come sign with us? Hey, that was allegedly what the Heat were propositioning LaMarcus Aldridge with. I think that was the cutoff. When LaMarcus Aldridge got that treatment, everyone's like, okay, cutting off the visits. We're going to lock DeAndre Jordan in a room to keep him from signing with Dallas?
Well, at least he was locked in his own house.
It was his own house, yes. And they put a chair in front of the door to keep, because that would keep him from turning the door and leaving, I guess. I guess that was more symbolic than anything else. But we only get conversations about your current free agent. So the Aaron Holiday era may be coming to an end. I know you sent that message earlier. We never got to it. It was like a couple weeks ago that Aaron Holiday wasn't expected to return. We may have confirmation of that very soon here.
Well, no, we'd get confirmation that he would return.
Well,
we can't really get confirmation that he won't.
That's
return.
True, unless the report came out that Aaron Holiday and the Rockets are so far out on money that he decided he's going to test free agency.
Talks have broken down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, look, if someone is in their bag enough to tweet that Aaron Holiday talks have broken down, look, I credit you for engagement farming, but you ain't going to get me. I salute you, like Kat did in that video. But I salute you for that, but that's a step too far. So, finals are over, ends in five. Let's recap. Jaylen Brown's your MVP. Jason Tatum tries to do something cringeworthy and pull off his version of the anything is possible. We did it. All right, Jason Tatum. Look, I don't know if it'll surpass your I'm going to tweet Kobe stuff. I got you that tweet. I don't know if it's going to supplant that as the worst and corniest thing you've done. It doesn't help your resume. What does help is being the best player on a team who won a title, not the best player in the finals, but the best player on a team. And, you know, I don't know if it elevates him to a point where people are actually considering him as a top five player, but you add a title and it just helps your cause no matter what. It just helps in those conversations. And he's talked about no longer having to care what people think now that he's won it. Look, if Kevin Durant couldn't escape the slander after winning finals MVP twice with Steph Curry on the team, and he cares immensely about what people think, I'm not saying Jason Tatum is cut from the same cloth, but we know the NBA discourse is about validating things. And if it's simply the one title, you can comfort yourself after the fact because you're going to be celebrated as a Celtics legend. But we know it's not going to be enough for people. He's not going to get away from people criticizing him if he doesn't go on this real long run of titles. He doesn't have to do it back to back to back, but validation will be a thing in the future that people discuss. Now, it's a celebration of winning the title, and the Celtics won it. And it's just unfortunate, Sean. It's really an unfortunate event for all of us, or for most of us. Some people are happy.
Some people are happy.
For any right-thinking person who wasn't rooting against Dallas for Houston spite, I get that part of it. But now that it's over, you couldn't be happier than Celtics won. You're just more thrilled that the Mavericks don't have one.
No, from Rockets Twitter, I learned that this helped Harden's legacy somehow.
Because of Luka, is that why?
I guess. I don't know.
Because Luka made a finals as the number one option, but Harden never did, but that somehow helps Harden's legacy? That's the logic.
We got to give him something, all right?
But
did you see this?
Are you a Harden? Not you specifically, but are they Harden fans or Rocket fans? Because Harden hasn't been a member of the Rockets for years now. Let it go. Let it go. It's over.
Yeah, you can my stance, because this happened after game three when Lucas stunk it up.
Sure.
Whereas my stance is you can laugh at the Mavericks. You just cannot use this as an opportunity to boost up Harden. Like that's where I'm drawing the line.
The man ripped you on the way out, saying, "We just can't win." Remember the presser. Even
PJ Tucker wanted to fight him after that.
The fat suit stuff is the funny part. The funny part of that last month or so, people laughing about what he looked like depending on the angle. But he used a press conference to tell everyone this organization couldn't win. It's not going to happen here. And that was the final straw. Okay, we got to get rid of you now. Why are we lauding? Why are we forgetting about that?
But James Harden did take control of a record last night.
Yes, we'll talk about that when we come back. James Harden does own a record. It's an infamous one, but he does.
A postseason record.
Yes, so all the people taking shots at him realize longevity matters, and we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, now that there's no NBA playoffs to talk about or bet on, maybe you focus on tonight's Stanley Cup Finals. Will it follow the trend of the team up 3-1 getting blown out and then winning on their home, well, in this case, their home ice to wrap it up? Keith Kachuk can follow his childhood buddy Jason Tatum's run to a title. If you think the Panthers are going to do it, Matthew Kachuk, Keith Kachuk is his dad. Matthew Kachuk, you can bet on MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag. They have experts, so if you're not sure about hockey, they have people who will walk you through what you should look at as the Panthers try to close out their series. Maybe it's baseball that you're interested in, and you think Fromber's going to bounce back against one of the worst teams in baseball, the White Sox. The Astros are in Chicago. Maybe you think Fromber's going to have a good night. Go to MyBookie to put some money down on the Astros. And it's not just about the sports betting. They have a live casino where you can take advantage of their options to play poker, blackjack. They have the live dealers as well. Makes it a more interactive experience. And the big thing, the sign-up bonus. Bet975 is a promo code. Just type that in. You get a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. And if you are a returning customer, they will help you there as well with the bonus. Just use promo code Bet975. Remember, I'm talking about hockey. I'm talking about baseball. I'm talking about the live casino because my bookie is all about betting anything, anywhere, anytime. Just go to mybookie.ag. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with my bookie.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you don't get this man out of my face, that's one reason I'm happy basketball's over. It's the summer soccer for me because you got to get Tatum out of my face. That was him after the game last night trying to, I guess, get his Kevin Garnett moment. And as Sean mentioned, or did you say it during the break? The entire internet saying, nah, dog.
No.
Not for me.
No,
That's not for me. We know what you're doing.
We know what you're doing.
We know exactly what you're doing. You're not fooling anybody else. I know that Celtics title happened 16 years ago now. A lot of people on social media probably weren't using it because it wasn't a thing. They're probably watching something, you know, the level of Dora Explorer, which that reminded me of. Doesn't she go, we did it? That's what it sounded like to me. Cut it out. Just because a lot of people, the last time that happened on Boston's floor, were watching something like Dora Explorer, doesn't mean you have to use her language to try to get off something that you think is going to be put in a commercial.
Al Horford had just finished his rookie year.
Last time the Celtics won a title?
Yeah. He played them in seven.
And it's good that you mentioned Al Horford because we ended the previous segment with Al Horford winning a title and that leading to James Harden now being the record holder for something. What's he a record holder for, Sean?
He is the active leader because he still has a ways to go to catch Malone and Stockton.
Sure.
He's the active leader with 166 playoff games without a championship.
So he's always in the playoffs.
Every year.
That has been a consistent thing for him. He makes the playoffs no matter what team he's on, no matter what option he is. He simply has not won. And are we getting into ring chasing territory? He just finished his 34-year-old year. He's a guy the Clippers can talk to if they want to bring him back. He is one of those free agents that can be talked to by their current team. I feel like the Clippers are going to run this thing back. Unless Paul George says, I'm out of here because you're not offering me a full extension. I'll go take that side eye from Joel Embiid during the broadcast and make that a reality and go play for the Sixers. They have his bird rights in the Clippers with James Harden. If he wants his money, that's probably the best place he's going to land, because who's looking to add him in the $30 million range? Who's looking to do that?
I'm asking this rhetorically because sure. I know the answer is yes. Didn't we just do this with James Harden?
Yes.
This past offseason into the season? Like, he got traded in December?
Yes.
And, we all came to the conclusion of, really, the Clippers, the only team that, like, makes sense to not only get him but to pay him that much.
We did do this.
Unless he wants to. The other one was San Antonio. Pair him with Vic.
Because that seems like a Spurs move to bring.
Yeah, exactly.
And
also James Harden being like, yeah, I'm cool. Let me sign with a team that lost 60 games.
It's less about that. I'm sure if they gave him a lot of money, he'd be okay. But James Harden in San Antonio? Is that what he's looking for? It's a short trip to Houston, I guess. So
yeah.
With the PJ, could get him to Houston.
I'm sure Pop would love coaching him.
Yeah, a great fit. An absolute great fit, those two working together. When I'm the system. We've got this generational player. Yeah, but I'm the system. Haven't you heard? So NBA free agency, it's not the biggest thing because guys can't move teams, but we might hear some news about either contracts being agreed to or being closely agreed to or we finding out guys aren't returning because Paul George, probably one of the bigger names out there. Not that Paul George, I think him moving from one team to another could determine a title, but it could maybe close a window for the Clippers if he so chooses to opt out.
I don't have the list of the players with the most career playoff games that haven't won a championship that James Harden's atop of. I have to imagine Paul George pretty close on that list.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I'm trying to think of the last time Paul George, when healthy, wasn't in the playoffs.
Not when healthy, but 2022, I want to say. They missed the playoffs because he got COVID before the play-in game.
Okay. So he is one. He's probably, and this stretches back his playoff runs to the Heatles when he was going against them as a Pacer. So we're talking a decade plus, as long as he was healthy, of being in the playoffs. So he's probably up there as well. And of course, that's great for the Clippers.
He just didn't go as far as Harden.
Yeah, he didn't play as many games in certain seasons. But yeah, Paul George is probably up on that list as well. The Astros are in Chicago starting today. Fromber will get the start today. We hope he is much better than he was in his last start, followed by Hunter Brown. And then Wednesday is Hunter Brown. Thursday is to be determined. There is a question of whether Justin Verlander will start that game. But it's up for debate. Maybe less debate, more to do with his health. Will he be available, or will they push him back? The thought is he will be available at least this week, so maybe we see him on the mound against the Orioles. At least it's trending to a spot where he will be available at some point. The Astros 6 games below 500, and can they make up some ground? Can they sweep the White Sox? I think people setting that goal as something that should happen, getting a little ahead of yourselves. Don't you know what this team is about? Not the White Sox, the Astros. Why would you set that goal for yourself? Are you looking to be disappointed by your favorite baseball team? Take it a game at a time. Take the advice of this show.
One game at a time.
If they string together three, great. But don't set expectations. You're asking for your favorite team to disappoint you. And why would you go into a series looking for that?
They still have not had a real sweep this season. Or no, maybe they have one sweep this season.
Yeah, they swept the Rockies in Mexico City, but it was two games, right?
Yeah, I think they maybe – that might be the one sweep that we're counting. But, yeah, if there's one thing the 2024 Houston Astros do not do, it's sweep teams.
Didn't they rip off like five or six in a row at some point? That had to have happened. They've got at least
part of that was the
Rockies.
Yeah,
and
it might have been one game, two games with the Rockies, and three-gamer.
I mean, it's not that important, but to Sean's point, their inconsistency is really, really the basis of all of this. So why would you just assume they're going to go in and sweep the White Sox? Just take the games as they come.
There's also the Orioles series, like right on the other side. So I'm not super. I'm not expecting another six-game win streak. I'm not expecting a run to be happening. It's, hey, good. You get the White Sox. Sweet. The Orioles, don't get swept by the Orioles.
Leave there with something. That was our take when they went into New York, and they did that. Leave the Orioles series with something. Just take a game if you can.
You know what? They did. They had a four-game sweep.
That's what I knew. I thought they had one.
Of the Oakland Athletics.
I thought they had one. Yeah, they got the A's, and people are like, oh, the Astros are turning it around. And that has been far from the case the rest of the way. So
that would be very funny if their two sweeps or their three sweeps are
the Rockies, the A's, and the White Sox. Well, they got the Rockies coming up again, so they may be able to string together something. Rockies. They own that National League team.
I have to assume this is the last time they play them this year.
Hey, you take advantage when you can, right? So we'll see how it goes as they close out the month with the White Sox. They got the Orioles, as Sean mentioned, Rockies, and then Mets. The Mets apparently they found the magic of Grimace of all people, and the Mets can't be beat. They pounded the Rangers, beat them, I think, 14-2 yesterday. And people are celebrating that, like, hey, we're tied. We're in second. And more of it is trashing the Rangers. And I talked about this from 7 to 10. Have some pride. Don't screenshot your tie with the Rangers. You can't be thrilled with the Rangers stinking and then also screenshot them and go, hey, we're in second place. No.
No, we're in second place. Better than the Rangers, baby.
The Rangers stink.
We did it!
We're tied. You can't celebrate that while also acknowledging how sucky the Rangers are. Don't
June 18th. Tied.
Look,
tied for second place.
Small victories, I guess. The Rangers are terrible.
Everything's bigger in Texas, though.
Which indicates how small this victory is. You can't be tied. You can't be tied with a bad baseball team and celebrate it. Have some shame. Have some pride. There are standards here. Not this year, per se. But the history suggests there are standards. And the standards are you are one of the best teams of the decade. As fans, you operate that way. That's why you're always talking trash to other teams, even when other teams win titles. You know how much trash Astro fans talk to Ranger fans, even after they won? Because, oh, that's your one. You're still the Rangers. Now you're celebrating being tied with them in second? Come on. No.
We did it!
Save that. Save that as a clip for the rest of the show's history. We're going to play that to celebrate nonsense going forward.
We did it!
We did it! No! No! Understand. You're bad. They're bad. You shouldn't be comparing yourselves to them. You wouldn't have ever done it before. In fact, you would laugh at Ranger fans for even deigning to suggest that they're anything like you. Now, you're screenshotting the records being tied when they beat you in the ALCS to go win a title.
The funniest part about the records getting screenshot is that there's also the column that says games back.
Yeah.
And they're both nine games
back. How much cropping do you have to do to make that look somewhat reasonable and not embarrassing? I know it's been a rough season, but don't use that as your basis of saying we did it.
Hey, they're both tied for seventh in the
wild card chase?
Yeah. How about that?
That feels great. Feels really good, I would imagine, to know that your brothers in awfulness are the Rangers.
Only seven games back from the last spot.
Okay. Is that a positive to only be seven games back in June? Probably not. So the Astros, the other storyline is that they're going to see their old buddy, Martin Maldonado. And the quotes from the Chronicle about seeing their old buddy, I wouldn't say they're shocking, because Maldonado's aura, unlike Jason Tatum's, is great here in town. I mean, for the team, we know how the fans have felt about him playing. And we know Chicago fans are taking it to a different level when they're trying to get him into the All-Star game because of how bad he's been. But the Astros love him. They attributed some of the quotes about how big he was, you know, the pitching staff and his leadership. And never has a man who fared so poorly at the plate had this type of energy surrounding him. They miss their buddy. They'll get to see him, you know, hang out, have great conversations, and then beat the crap out of his baseball team. That's what should come out of these 3 days. But like we said, you take them one at a time. We'll talk more about the Astros when we come back. We'll also get into some quotes from Nico Collins about what he expects from himself and what he thinks this offense, the Texans offense, is capable of. And they're right along the lines of what a lot of people think they should be. We talked about the Rockets and their free agency stuff. We'll also get into the choice, because the draft is this week. No, next week. Next week. Draft is next Wednesday. And we'll talk about who certain publications think the Rockets should take. It's a big story in the Chronicle. They asked some of the experts, at least draft experts, about the options for the Rockets. And, you know, Jinzy Rex Chapman's on the list. He continues to be someone they can go after. We'll talk about maybe a big man option as well as we go forward. There's a Landon Donovan thing that circulated because of his appearance on the broadcast for the Euros. And we've been given some context by one of his buddies through a text exchange between him and Landon Donovan. I'm not sure I believe it. I'm not sure. Doc Linville's like, I'm glad he's not saying I represent him, because I did that work. Because what Landon Donovan is attributing his look to, it seems reasonable. And then when you look at the front of his head, you go, are we buying it? So we'll talk about that too. It's one of those things where you had to see it. And the internet saw it, and they jumped on Landon Donovan hard. An American legend, at least when it comes to world soccer. U.S. soccer, not world soccer. Let's not overstep things. He had a nice run at Everton for a little bit. So we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. And also some news from an actual world star, where his nose was broken and and he's unlikely to play in his next match. A lot of stuff from the Euros. We'll get into Rory and what he and his statement about leaving the U.S. Open. We'll close that loop because we talked about it yesterday. We'll do some of that stuff when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So DJ Bienname, friend of the station, you hear him a lot on Gallant and George. And before that one was just the Paul Gallant Show. He would come in studio. He has a piece on ESPN.com about the Texans, who he covers on a day-to-day basis, and specifically about Nico Collins. Nico Collins got his deal in the offseason. Very happy. He's known to be a humble, hardworking guy. He does have some goals for himself for this year. I'm trying to get to 1,500 yards. That's what I'm chasing. I'm chasing the dudes that I've been watching for years. Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. Successful receivers that made the game look easy. If you go through the last 3 years in the NFL, 1,500 yards would put you at number four amongst the league leaders. Just broke down that way. 23, 22, 21. 1,500 yards would put you right between the third and the fourth guy on the list. So, Nico, at a minimum, he wants 1,500 yards. So, that would, at a minimum, put him at fourth in league leaders in receiving yards. He, when you compare him to the other guys on the list, the only guy who had a receiver that you would call a legit 2/1B type was Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill has been up there in receiving yards, and he's also had Jaylen Waddle. Certainly, targets, yards can be taken away depending on the talent of the guy you're number two. So you look at what is here in Houston. You have Stephon Diggs. You have Tank Dell. 1,500 yards is tough if you just go by recent NFL history. I'm going to say Nico falls a little short. Unless people are right and the Texans have one of the best offenses at that point, it might be of all time. If you're able to supply Diggs with the targets and catch and yards he wants, Tank with what he wants, and then Nico still getting 1,500 yards, that would be one of the more prolific offenses in football. I don't see it, but I like the goals. He also goes on to say, it's going to be hard for defenses. I feel like for us, it will give everybody else opportunities to shine and win. That's our mission. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Can't be selfish. Have to be a team player. Got to have joy for your brother when he makes a play. I don't think that'll be a question for Nico. There's a guy wearing the number one who people will question. But I think Stephon Diggs will be fine. He doesn't have the leeway he had in Buffalo. Stephon Diggs will be a joy. And he'll be joyful, Sean. He'll watch his guys go out there and celebrate. I'm sure they got dances they're working on and handshakes they're going to do, celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
I think Stephon Diggs will be fine in year one because he's got no choice to other than to be a good teammate, a leader. Because if he's not, now we're talking about the third team who decided you were too much. And the Texans have already set themselves up. We know. They changed the deal so they're going to get away from him if they want. After a year, I don't have many worries. I do like the goals. It's just going to be tough considering who has to get fed.
Yeah, it is something where I think Tank Dell was on the shocker. He was on a podcast somewhere, mm-hmm. And it truly is the NFL offseason. All the quotes are from podcasts. That he wanted to get, I forgot what the exact number, it was something like 1,200 yards and 12 touchdowns was his expectations for himself this season. And he started doing the math. You're like, I don't think all these guys are going to be able to get 1,200 yards.
Like if we start, hey, Dalton Schultz, how many yards do you think you're going to have?
1,200.
Tank Dell, how many do you think you're going to have?
1,500.
Stephon Diggs, how many do you think you're going to have?
1,500.
Nico Collins, 1,500 at a minimum.
At least.
Look, I know they always say there's enough footballs to go around.
It's like 6,000 passes.
But in this case, I don't think there's enough to go around. Unless the NFL has secretly extended the season to 21 games, and I don't know about it. I don't think there's enough to go around for all those guys to reach their goals. I'm not going to say so it means some person's going to be unhappy. I just do think when at the end of the year they're checking off they go through their checklist of things they wanted to accomplish, some guys aren't going to reach them. And maybe none of them reach them because CJ has said, I'm just going to throw the ball to someone who's open. But if Tank Dell does reach his goal, what's he going to say, Sean?
Oh, I didn't have it.
Oh. But what if they all reach their goal, Sean? What are they going to say?
We did it!
That's right. If they all get it done, they can all say,
we did it!
I think it's going to be tough for them to all say,
we did it!
We'll just see. We'll just see. Oh, man. The math won't math. That's all. It ain't going to be anyone's fault. They're going to have a chance to be really, really good. Just too many guys trying to reach their goal. And if CJ does make sure they reach their goals, then we're going to have a real conversation about maybe the best quarterback. And Bobby Slowick, say goodbye. If you're producing numbers where all these guys, three 1,000-yard receivers, which is historic, just pack it up. Just pack Bobby Slowick up. D'Amico, drive him to the airport for his next stop.
Yeah, I was going to say, and at that point, it would be worth it because chances are there'd be – I mean, if they do actually pull this thing off, like, they might be the ones with the confetti dropping on them screaming.
We did it!
I'm going to implore whoever is in that position to come up with something else. Something, anything else. I will ask you to plan it. We know Tatum planned that, and it went poorly for him. Maybe not the most creative man in the world. But Texans, I know you plan celebrations. I know you plan touchdown dances. If you're getting close to a Super Bowl, we've heard multiple receivers talk about the goal is to win a Super Bowl. When? Who would it? I don't even know who has it this year. Who has it? Is it NBC or ESPN? I don't know who has it. Whoever has it, and their sideline reporter comes up to you, maybe you make it Houston-centric. I don't know. But you don't yell this.
We did it!
Because we will roast you. And deservedly so.
This show would probably be the only one in town.
Hey, didn't we just win a Super Bowl? What are you guys doing?
Hold on. 1 second.
Yes, Super Bowl is great. I acknowledge it. But come on. Listen to what he said.
Maybe we get to it to hour two.
Yeah, we will. Hour one would be full of celebrating the Texans accomplishing something this city has never seen, an NFL title.
11:30, though?
We got to get to other stuff.
We're going to call you to the middle of the floor and be like, Excuse me. Did you really just...
We did it!
In the biggest moment of career, you came up with this? That's what you came up with? Get with the writers. Find something else.
Was the worst thing that happened to Jason Tatum was that the Celtics went up 3-0, and so he had like a week to think of it?
Yeah, I think it probably happened after 2-0. They probably started to have the thoughts about, what am I going to say? He knew he was going to be interviewed at some point, and he knew, and particularly the title happening in Boston, he was in that same framing that KG was.
It was the same day. It was June 17th.
So we're talking about 16 years to the day that KG won his title, and anything is possible.
It's like I think part of it is that it's the same cadence as anything is possible.
Yeah, he didn't even try to fake us out.
Like it's can like,
we? You know what we got to do? We got to do compare and contrast. Okay, I know I'm putting work on you, but we're going to go to break here, and I don't know if we'll have it for the next segment. But since this apparently may take over this show because it's so funny, we will compare and contrast. We did it to anything as possible, and figure out where Jason Tatum went wrong. I'll tell you already. We did it. Those three words. We did it. Anything is possible. We'll do a compare and contrast. But if you want to call in to distract us from the nonsense we're about to get into, you can do that. 713-780-3776. We'll get to your calls as quickly as you call. We're not one of those shows who makes you hold through 20 minutes. John and Lance, disrespectful of your time. Just pointing it out. We respect your time. So we'll get to that call that's up there when we come back. And anyone else who wants to join us, please do.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Like I told you, we don't waste your time here. So we're going to get to Tongue Dark Chris first. He wants to talk about the Texans. What's up?
Hey, I'd like to add another receiving yard person that y'all might have forgotten is the running back. He's probably going to get some of those yardage. So you're looking at a 7,000-yard quarterback in T.J. Stroud.
Okay.
But as far as, like, touchdown celebrations go, and you think they're practicing some, what would be better if they – do you think it would be better if they all lined up and started river dancing and somebody's playing, like, an Irish flute? Or do you think it would be better if Nico and who do they just get? What's his name from Buffalo?
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, if Diggs and Collins pretend to fight and then they pretend to shoot Tank Dell in the leg.
I don't think that one is going to get pulled off. CJ nearly told us he was crying about the news. And you imagine so. One of his buddies was shot. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. I don't believe they're going to do that. You know, I wouldn't put it past a secondary of an opponent to do it. If they pick off a pass and Tank Dell is the receiver that's targeted. I
don't think anyone's going to be.
I wouldn't.
Celebrating, making light of his shooting.
Yeah, to be fair, it's not the same as taunting Jalen Waddle with the waddle if you make a play on him.
No, it's not doing the gator chomp back in his face.
Yeah.
Because you have to do a finger gun at some point, and that's already pretty aggressive. They don't love it when you start doing the finger guns.
Sure, you'll get hit with the penalty for that. But a cornerback makes a play and then mimics sprinting off and acting like he gets shot in the leg? It's rough. It is rough. It would be to the extreme, considering how dangerous that situation was. But, you know.
You think L'Jarius Sneed is going to do that?
What did Tank say to him the play before? What did he say?
Hey, and it's Titans-Texans now.
It's a rivalry, you know. Yeah, L'Jarius Sneed is a Titan.
Even though he's never played. Yeah. As of right now, he's only been to practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm only bringing it up because Tongue Dart brought it up. I don't think either one of those things is happening. I just don't think the Texans are going to do it. That was a scary situation. But, hey, in the heat of battle, some young corner, it probably wouldn't be Snead, he's a veteran, but some young corner that they play.
Rookie corner.
Yeah.
It's definitely a rookie corner move.
And then he'll apologize after for going across the line. I'm saying all's fair in taunting on the field.
Do they play Terry and Arnold? Do they play Kool-Aid McKinstry?
These are things you have to think about.
Oh, they don't play the Eagles, right? So
Quinyon Mitchell.
I was thinking Cooper DeJean.
Oh, if he did it, they'll run his ass out of the league. He better not. He's already on thin ice, being a white corner. He better watch himself. But Dave wants to talk Celtics Texans. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dale. Good morning. I listened to the whole show. I'm driving today. I'm listening to the whole show this morning with you and John and Lance. Let me say, first of all, I like your show, and I also think that you add a lot to John and Lance's show. You can tell them, as a listener.
Okay.
Truly, you add a lot to that show.
I appreciate it.
Celtics / Rockets. A lot of talk about Brad Stevens and what a great job he did, and he does deserve a lot of credit. I think Danny Ainge is getting overlooked a little bit in all this. I mean, he traded down and took Jason Tatum and got some draft capital in the deal. He drafted Jaylen Brown, so you talk about the big two. Those were brought in by Ainge, not Brad. So, just a little love towards Danny here. I'm an old Celtic fan. So, and then I want to say, I wonder what Ime Udoka's thinking today, because he had that team that wasn't as good as this Celtic team. He didn't have Drew. He didn't have Porzingis, and he got him to the finals. I think the Rockets have the right coach. So I think Udoka's going to, get a lot out of this Rocket team. So what do you do with the Rockets, okay? I like what they're doing in terms of building through the draft. I think that's what the good teams do. They got some decisions to make. I would use this upcoming pick to take Shepherd if he's there. So you got a sharpshooter kind of guy. I think they need one of them. And then it's a matter of trying to figure out, you got Smith, you got Green, and you got Thompson. They're all really high draft picks. I think two out of those three guys are part of the future. I'm not sure which whether it's Green or Thompson. I actually like Thompson a lot. So anyway, just throw that out there, hear what you have to say about the Rockets going forward.
Appreciate it, Dave. In fact, I'll get to some of the things you said. We'll get to the Rockets on the other side because there's an article in the Chronicle about what they should do. They do mention Reed Sheppard in the conversation. So, yeah, the Danny Ainge thing, I don't know if it'll get overlooked in Boston, but sure, Brad Stevens is getting a lot of credit for supplementing the big two, as you mentioned. But Ainge made moves where you mentioned the trade down. I think that was understood. People like to rip the Sixers for taking Markelle Fultz when they could have had Jason Tatum. But I think it was understood the Celtics weren't going to make the trade if the Sixers were going to take Jason Tatum. I think that was part of it. Now, I don't know how many times it happens that teams go back on agreements, but I think that's how that played out. So, sure, you can blame the Sixers for that, but I think that was laid out for everyone to know what was going to happen. Jaylen Brown, yeah, he made smart draft picks that went got you two foundational pieces to a roster that went through, I call them struggles. They're not really struggles. They were young players finding their way, and sure, losing in the conference finals to LeBron or Jimmy Butler or losing to the Warriors in their one last dance season can be looked at as failures, but are they really? We know traditionally guys who win titles, they do it in their late 20s, early 30s. And then we start to point to guys who did it earlier and you go, okay, wow. Like Dwayne Wade leading his team to a title like 24 years old. That's the outlier. Like, so Luka losing is not a death knell. If we're talking about NBA history, kind of he was supposed to lose, going through pain and then figuring it out and eventually winning as part of the process. So Danny Ainge gets his credit. Brad Stevens supplemented it, made moves to correct things that weren't going his way, traded away a foundation, maybe not a foundational piece, but maybe the heart and soul, people thought, in Marcus Smart. They made moves, they got better, and they were the most dominant team all year long. Yeah, you called and said you're an old-time Celtics fan. And surely while I don't like the Celtics because of the team I root for, there's a rivalry there, understand, they lost, they bounced back, and they made the moves to get it done, and that's their title, and sure. It's funny to go after them because of the road, but the title's theirs, and they're the best team all year long. And now I remove my reasonable takes from it, from the conversation, and go, whatever. You played. Who did you play?
No Jimmy.
Yeah.
No Terry Rozier.
No Jared Allen. No Donovan Mitchell.
No Bobby Hawkes.
For the final game, yeah. No Halliburton for the series, and to be fair, no Kyrie.
No Kyrie in the games in Boston.
True. It was a corpse of Kyrie out there, but he was far more shook by the Boston crowd and the environment than I guess we thought he would have been. But, yeah, all credit to the Celtics, and it'll last for 48 hours, and we'll move on to other stuff because the NBA Finals have been not watched, and a lot of people haven't placed much importance on it. But, Dave, I appreciate it. We'll get to what you said, what your thoughts about the Rockets, because there's an article about them and what they might do in the draft. And Ime Udoka, what he's thinking, man, I fumbled a title and knee along. Not a great run for me. I will talk about the Rockets when we come back.
Good and ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.